Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Nsoroma, and I just love that song, Nikolela, by Stevie Wonder. And I remember saying to myself, if I ever get some kind of a radio show or a television show, that's going to be my theme song. So it's really, really a great blessing to open with that beautiful song every week. And the words that the lyrics are, of course, so relevant and important for where we are today. Now, here's a little bit about Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I broadcast live, and the show is repeated on Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I invite you now to join me for an exploration of the inner landscape, where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. We begin this January 2018 as a nature year, and tonight I'm going to share part two of my annual New Year's message. Part one was about the shifts and gifts of 2014 to 2017, and tonight I'm going to share my forecast about 2018, which I believe is going to be full of radical endings, beginnings, and magical change. I'm also going to share with you a process for establishing some annual commitments, or even if it's one commitment, but in a way that is very, very generative, very powerful. Now, before I get started, I'd like you to know that in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to this live broadcast and or call into the show at this new number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Again, 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or the constant contact email that you may get, that link serves as an archive link after I've finished the live broadcast. So if for some reason you're unable to listen to the program in its entirety, you can listen later. And, of course, you can also use that link to share with friends, family, and even strangers. So part of my process here on Wisdom Walk is to honor the ancestors. So I like to open up the shows with an acknowledgement of the persons whose shoulders we're standing upon, the persons we're beholding to for who and where we are today. And I'm not just talking about those ancestors that were loving to us and supportive, but also the ones who disappointed us or neglected us and even physically harmed us. And why? Because our souls have grown as a result of both the good and the bad. And ancestors who were black sheep in the family are the ones that nobody wanted to deal with. Once they cross over, they remember all of the truth of who they are. And so they have taken that walk on the dark side, but now they want to be helpful. And so they're really great ancestors to call upon when you're faced with a conflict, a fork in the road, or you know that you may be getting ready to make a decision that you're really going to regret. They're the ones that are whispering in your ear, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't go down that street. Don't take that job. You know, those are the ones that are trying to help you to really steer clear of what they know is not a good day. So tonight, I wanted to have us think about and call on the ancestors for acceptance of change, because we really are, as I'll talk about in just a minute, heading into a time where the change work that we've been working on, the stuff we've been working on to change, is going to change. The change is going to be here. And so it'll be so much easier if we don't resist and if we can accept it. So I just want you to think about those ancestors that walk with you, that work with you. And ancestors don't have to be blood related. They can be people that maybe you never even met, but who really influence you or affect you. And so you can call on them as well. And so I'm going to reach out to them about this acceptance for change by saying, ancestors, 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 come to us, come be with us, come guide us, come love us, come help us, because we are entering into a time of vast change. And of course, this is a frightening time for us and a time when it would be easy for us to continue doing what we've always done. And even though we may dress it up or call it something different, in essence, it could be us replicating what can no longer work. So we're asking you to come and be with us and guide us. Send us the support and the help, the information, the knowledge, the wisdom that we need to accept the change that is here and that is coming. For truly, we want to be in alignment with the truth of our lives, with the truth of the universe, and to not go against what is natural, what is true, what is just, what is right, and what is real for us. And so help us, help us, help us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Creator, I ask for all of this in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe Aho Asa Shinga Bismillah, and so it is. Ashe. Well, I've got much to share with you this evening. It's really exciting to think about the coming year and the past years, you know, how is that influencing us on the coming year, and to also set some intentions and set them in a way that they're generative, that they inspire us, that they really help us get through the year so that we can end the year on a happy note, that we can feel like we're fulfilled, like we've accomplished some things that we wanted to accomplish. And even if there were things we didn't accomplish, we can feel good about the progress that we've made on them. So I want to start off with elemental wisdom for this week and an astrological forecast for this week, because we got a new moon coming up that has some neat information associated with it. But the elemental wisdom, and again, that's based on the Dagra medicine wheel of the five elements of fire, water, earth, nature, mineral, and nature. And these elemental essences really help us and guide us and help us stay focused on purpose. You know, the Dagra ancient medicine and wisdom is that everybody is born on purpose. You're here for a reason. And so when we tap into this elemental wisdom for the week, it really helps to guide us. It helps to shape us. It helps us not feel like we're at the mercy of whatever is going to show up. It helps us be able to set some intention and some focus. Despite whatever can show up, we can still be clear about, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I can do. This is what's me centered and focused on me. Because if I can't take care of me, I can't help anybody else. So here's the opportunities for this week, which starts tomorrow because January 1st was on a Monday. So the 15th is a Earth week. It's an Earth week from the 15th through Sunday the 21st. Here's the opportunities starting tomorrow. Receive support. Ah, nice. It means you got to step into a little vulnerability. You are worthy. Embrace the power of self-love and honor the energetic of the earth element as you open yourself to receive what you need in order to be fulfilled, nurtured, appreciated, and loved. Be self-full, which is not selfish, it's self-full. This is cosmic reciprocity for all that you have done to support others. You deserve it. Ask and you shall receive. So Earth Week, always a week of, you know, abundance and abundant thinking, wealth consciousness. And I'm not just talking about finance, wealth in terms of really being able to know that we have the power to generate all of what we need in order to be fulfilled. So here's some distractions that can show up in this week. Hold on for 1 second because I thought I had that page and I didn't have that page. So I got to go back in here and open it back up. Take me a second. Okay. So here's the opportunities for this week, for this week of Earth. It is to allow yourself to, opportunities. I wanted to talk about the distractions. So here they are. So the distractions, because I just gave you the opportunities, are the fear of hearing no. Because anytime we set ourselves up to be in a receptive mode, we have to not be afraid of hearing a no. We want to accept the no, because that's what's going to get us to the yeses. So don't waste your time trying to change a no into a yes. Accept the no, and you'll eventually get to your yes. Definitely. That is the truth. The fear of being a burden. You know, when we are in need of help, what we're afraid of is someone feeling like we shouldn't need the help, that we should be able to figure it out for ourselves, that we shouldn't be a burden. But, you know, when we really need help, we just really need help. And it's not about being a burden. Now, if you are not really in need of help, or if it is something that you really could do or should do on your own, that's a different story. About when you really are, either you've got, you know, you're ill, or you had an accident, or, you know, something unexpected occurred that really pulled you off your center, and maybe you need some financial help, whatever. Like, when you really need help, you need it. And so don't feel like you're a burden. Get the help, because then once you get yourself back on your feet, and sometimes that's literally, then you'll be able to give back. And the last distraction is the fear of being judged as weak or as a failure because you need help or because you receive help. You know, we do go into that, to judging ourselves. I shouldn't be in this situation. I shouldn't have to, you know, have this person do this for me or give me this. And so we need to let that go, because just because you need help doesn't mean that you're always going to need help. You know, it's like, you know, passing weather, bad weather. It comes and it goes. So this week, if you need help, allow yourself to have it without judging yourself, without being afraid of hearing a no or believing that there's something wrong with you because you need help. Now, next week, on Monday, January 22nd, we'll begin a fire week. This will be the first fire week in this nature year, just as this earth week is the first earth week in the nature year. And, of course, I'll tell you all about the fire week in the next broadcast. Moving right along to the astrology for this week, a new moon in Capricorn occurs on Wednesday, January 16th into the 17th. This new moon in Capricorn is significant because right now there are currently 6 planets in Capricorn, and all of the planets, all 9 planets, I include Pluto, are right now going direct. There's no retrograde planet. So when that happens astrologically, it interprets as we've gotten a window to really get stuff done. And, you know, Capricorn rules ambition, status in the world, your goals. And it includes integrity, honor, and accountability. And so, you know, this window of opportunity, starting with this new moon, I think the first planet goes retrograde in March, I think around March 8th. So between now and March 8th, it's a real opportunity to, you know, set some goals and really start getting some stuff done. You can really kickstart your dreams. is what the message is. And again, this information is coming from Barbara Goldsmith. And then also Kelly Rosano is another astrologer that I like. She's pretty consistent with her stuff. They're both very positive, and I really appreciate that. Something else about this new moon, because again, new moons are always about new beginnings, fresh start, a redoing, a remaking, a recreation, a renovation, a reinvention. You know, it's that kind of an energy. It's a good time to cut your hair on a new moon. That's what the old folks used to do when I was growing up. That would be when they would say, it's time to cut your hair, you know, cut your ends and everything, because it's this time to restart everything. So the other astrological thing that's going on is that the Sun, Venus, the Moon, and Pluto are all square to Uranus. And Uranus is this planet that really is like kind of the granddaddy of the planets out there. He's the father of Jupiter. And so, again, this is an energy, a big energy that's coming to really help us break through, you know, to have some personal breakthroughs. If there are situations that you've been struggling in that have been really bothering you, well, this new moon is saying it's time for some practical down-to-earth action. You've got the support with, you know, the Sun and the Moon in Uranus, you know. Also, Saturn, Capricorn's ruler, is conjunct to Mercury, which means that you're being given an opportunity to focus your mind and to be very productive and efficient. It's a great aspect enabling you to tick important items off your to-do list, you know. So, again, it's all this forward-moving energy, like moving forward. But it's about moving forward with compassion, you know, taking your power, using your power, and really moving forward with compassion. The Capricorn, the symbol for Capricorn, the glyph is a goat's head and torso, and then the body of a mermaid. And they call it the sea goat, you know, or like the body of a seahorse. So it's a sea goat. And that symbol represents that power is wedded to compassion. Power is wedded to compassion. So it's about, you know, doing this stuff, getting yourself out of a situation that's not right for you, but doing it in a compassionate way. And to know that you do have the support to do that. Barbara goes on to say that with this new moon, this is the time is for less talk and more action. I like that. She also said, and this was really cool, she said, with Jupiter and Mars in Scorpio combined with the moon squaring Uranus, this can bring about miraculous remissions and spontaneous healing. And on her video that she did, she made mention of a patient in Asia who was prayed over and given energy work by the doctors who were working on her cancerous tumor in her stomach. And that as they're praying and chanting, the tumor actually shrinks. This is like the spontaneous healing that happened. So this is a time for magical change. I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit more about the entire year. But clearly this new moon is kicking it off. And it's all about believing. It's about believing. She says it's time to get creative about doing what matters, regardless of what seems to be in your way. Capricorn is all about making things physical, walking your talk, and talking your walk. So, it's a time for claiming power, claiming your power, putting things into action, knowing that you have a golden pass, a golden ticket, by the astrology, by the universe, for moving forward. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to all hear right now. Moving forward. So here's my overview for tonight. I'm going to start off with, again, another overview of this nature year. And then this week, I'm going to add in wisdom from the Daggara. So the Daggara wisdom about the nature year, including what a nature year means for a nature person, for somebody born in a year that ends with a 3 or an 8. And then I'm going to talk about magical changes through annual commitments, because we don't have to just wait around for these magical changes. We can actually go out to meet them. And so by making commitments to what it is that we want to be during 2018, or definitely by the end of 2018, we will be more conscious of these magical changes. The opening quotes I used for this week, the first one is from a man named Roy T. Bennett, who wrote a book called The Light in the Heart. And Roy says, "Believe in your heart that you're meant to live a life full of passion, purpose, magic, and miracles." Woohoo. The second quote comes from a woman named Sarah Kralik, and she's a blogger, and I pulled this out from the Elephant Journal, where she had a post on January the 24th from 2014. And she says this: "As these bones and heart of mine grow older, I am more and more certain that the world would be a far happier place if we would remember why magic matters, how our hearts would transform if we allowed ourselves to reach out for something invisible, to respect and honor the inexplicable." Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm all down with that. So, 2018 at a glance. This is a year that will provide more radical endings and beginnings, but also magical change. Change that we will be just blown away by. It'll be like, wait a minute, did that really happen? Like, what just happened here? You know, it's going to be that. So wanted change as well. Wanted change as well. Things that just blow us away. As a nature year, according to the Daggara Medicine Wheel, this year will reveal the results, manifestations of all the shifts and gifts that have occurred from 2014 through 2017. Most of us experienced a major shift in our lives during 2014, at least most of the people I know and have talked to, including myself. And so the years that have followed have been the living of that shift and learning that there's no going back to what came before it. So that's been, you know, what definitely has been happening the last three, four years. Now, in 2018, it's time for the treasure in all of our troubles to show up and in magical ways. So, again, we're going to be seeing the results of what it is that has really changed for us. Well, because we can't go back. There's no going back. So now it's time to really look at, okay, here's what's here. Here is what here. Last broadcast, I talked about the big astrological message of Saturn returning to its home planet of Capricorn. And I like this big message in that is that we get the opportunities to build structures in certain areas of our life that we'll be able to rely on for over the long haul. Now, whether that's a financial structure, whether that's an emotional structure, whether that's a physical structure, even building a home. But whatever it is, it's going to be so solid that you're going to be able to rely on it for a long time. It's like the family home, my family home in Staten Island. My grandparents and my mom and my mom's other siblings that did contribute, you know, they established this home base for me and my brother and sister, as well as my brother's children, And it's over 50 years that has been in the family, which is just unconscionable. But again, it's like that kind of thing, like some kind of a structure is going to be established. I also talked about the numerology of 2018 with the numbers 11 and 2, 11 being associated with the master builder, that's using an intuition and soul connection masterfully. And to be able to do that, of course, to transcend the lower consciousness that has kept us in survival mode, thinking that that's all we're here to do. So we want to get up into that master builder consciousness. The number two represents parity and interdependence between the masculine and the feminine energies. So 2018 really brings more opportunities for spiritually influenced eradication of gender equalities, bias, and abuse. And that is definitely wonderful. Now, the Chinese New Year begins on February 16th, and I'll talk more about that then. But I do want to say it's a brown earth dog year. And so the brown earth dog is a powerful marker for a new interpretation of our human condition. It's an opportunity for faith, loyalty, and dogged determination. And, you know, you think about a dog too, dogs can go through a lot of tragedy. They can go through a lot of trauma because, you know, people abuse them. And I know everybody's seen those horrible commercials, but I'm glad they show them, but I can't even look. Dogs being chained up and, you know, made into fight dogs and or whatever. But, you know, those dogs are amazing because once they get rescued and you put them around loving people, they just go back to being loving. They just go back to being loving. And they may, you know, some of them may still have a little bit of like, don't touch me here, or, you know, I don't like that sound, you know, because that's post-traumatic stress for them. But for the most part, you know, they continue to be, they'll be loyal to their new owners. And so that kind of is about, you know, kind of an essence of, from the Chinese New Year, what we can expect, that no matter what, you know, pounding down may occur, people are going to be able to bounce back and be able to say, okay, let me move forward. I'm not going to stay stuck. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to be in the truth of who I am. I'm not going to succumb to the bad stuff. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing we want to hear about. Dagger of Wisdom for this new year, I want to read to you what I am inserting into my annual New Year's message, which I always do like to write up, the one that I write up, and that I will post probably on Facebook. I also have a blog that I'll post it on. But I want to read to you this information from the Dagger of Wisdom. And I'm going to start with these two quotes, one from my male teacher, Melody Doma Somme, and one from my female teacher, Sobhongfu Somme. So the first one from Melody Doma says, "The element of nature signifies the principle of change. It is transformation, mutation, adjustment, flexibility, cyclicality, meaning things going in a cycle, going around and around, life, death, and magic. It is my sense," he says, "that if incorporating any of the five elements poses a challenge to modernity, then the challenge posed by nature is the most difficult of all." And that's from his book called The Healing Wisdom of Africa. And the next quote from Sobhongfu, which she wrote in her New Year's message for 2008, and Sobhongfu is now one of our ancestors, so it's really feel grateful to invoke her because she was a nature person. So I'm invoking her for this nature year message and for this energy. And she said, "At the crossroads between the fire year and the nature year, many of us are caught in the vortex of change and pain. The many losses and issues facing us are nothing but turbulent winds of change designed to make us shed the old skin. Much like the lizard shedding its skin, we are irritable, unstable, and impatient. Some of us have been sick or will get sick or get crazy just to change things we would normally not. Remember, as you struggle, that lasting good changes are not quick. So saying, remember as you struggle, that lasting good changes are not quick. They are sometimes slow and painful. So be kind to the emerging new you. You will see that the most painful things are packed with gifts and blessings. Furthermore, be proactive, make the changes instead of waiting for the changes to make you. Thank you, so bonjour. So in Dagra cosmology, nature is this cosmic creative expression of the four fundamental elements, the other four elements. So all of those elements, fire, water, earth, and mineral, combine to make nature. And nature represents the plants, the animals, and the humans. Nature is evidence of the evolutionary impulse of our universe. And it's cosmically designed to make us remember that we are real. We're not machines. And in Western culture domains, we are so in need of and hungry for that. The essential truth about being real is that you will change. You will be stretched and grown, just as you will be born and you will die with or without your consent. The seasonal changes in weather and landscapes serve as evidence of our natural life changes. A nature year brings opportunities and challenges for peeling off the mask of our false selves and belief systems while ushering in a rebirthing of the truth of who we are despite our fears of the real. So a great slogan for a nature year is make it real, get real, be real. You know, it's that time to really get in touch with that deeper part of ourselves, to really look at what is superficial or what is, like, you know, something that we had to do or something we had to be in the past that no longer serves us. You know, it's obsolete. And to be able to let that go, to unmask that and get down to, okay, so what's real? What's really going on? You know, getting into the depth. So in regards to a nature person in a nature year, persons born in years ending with 3 or 8 often find themselves at the crossroad of change and transformation. They have an inherent understanding of and respect for change, thrill, the great mystery, life, death, and rebirth. And I know several nature people, and this is true. This is in my experience of them. The essence and genius of nature people is their amazing ability to change and evolve themselves. They have the power to shapeshift into whatever or whoever they want to become when they put their mind to it. Their psyche encompasses the passionate action and ancestral connectivity of fire people, the emotional depth and peace-seeking of water people, the caretaking and extension of unconditional love and support of earth people, and the great social skills and gift for storytelling of the mineral folk. So again, they encompass all of this. Juggling all of the elemental essences allows nature people to serve as tricksters or magicians for the other elements. The trickster in nature makes it a masterful agent for change and renewal. As a result, nature people can midwife people and situations to a new beginning, coyote spirit and humor. And coyote medicine in Native American tradition is that coyote, and there are lots and lots of stories and fables about coyote. While challenging and persistent, nature people will remove whatever mask you hide behind to expose your true self. They often use humor, jokes, and joyful tricks to challenge us to pull off our masks, our false masks, and face our true reality. Now, during 2018, nature people will be both challenged and called upon to challenge pretense, falsehood, and that which is not in full alignment with the truth. Nature people who were born in the year ending in the number 8, and I know somebody who was born in 88, a double nature, they will be especially provided with multiple and frequent opportunities to transform away from beliefs, ideologies, paradigms, environments, people, and even foods, which can no longer support the truth of who they are. From a spiritual perspective, nature people are being radically shaped into the true stewards and powerful spokespersons for the natural world that the trees, plants, animals, landscapes, waterways, and people need them to be. And especially now with everything that we have going on the earth, with all these earth changes, because we've gotten so greedy and, you know, we're abusing all of this wonderful material bounty that the earth has given us. And so we've created such imbalance, and also building nuclear power plants in earthquake zones, you know, crazy stuff like that, exploding atomic bombs and out in the ocean, you know, just craziness. And so, you know, we've got to get back into balance. And so nature people really can help with that. So they're being stretched and grown to make sure that they become great stewards and teachers, you know, to us for that. How do we take care of our natural world? Now, magical changes through annual commitments. Like I said, you know, the magic is, again, how did this happen? Oh, my God, look at that. It just changed all of a sudden. But the reality is that things don't really just change all of a sudden. It's magical because we hadn't been paying attention or we didn't think it could happen. But the way the universe is set up, there's always a process to something happening. The magic is because we, again, just didn't believe, or it happened faster than we thought it could happen, or it happened in a way that we couldn't imagine that it happened. But that process to get to that magical change has always been going on. And so because of that, we can participate in it. And we can set our annual commitments to usher in these magical changes. In the collage that I put together to announce my broadcast this week, I have a picture of Pinocchio. And it's Pinocchio just after he has been made into a real boy. And to me, that is so symbolic, and it's just so wonderful. It fits so well because the story of Pinocchio, of course, is that he is brought to life by the Blue Fairy and told, you know, if you do the right thing, you know, right, if you stay in integrity with yourself, if you stay in alignment with your purpose, then you're going to become real. And so he has to go out, though, and get initiated into what he is not. You know, he ends up with donkey ears and a donkey tail at some point, you know, because he's, you know, straying away, right, from the straight and narrow. And so that's what happens to us as we are, you know, in this process of becoming real, of changing into who we really are. We're going to go through some stuff. Going to go through some challenges. We're going to do some things that in hindsight we really wish we hadn't done. All of that is part of the process to get us to where we magically turn into the real. So I'm going to give you some guidelines for creating a statement, a generative statement, a statement that will inspire you, or statements that will inspire you around what it is that you want this year. Last week, my personal challenge was what do you want to become in this new year? Identify three accomplishments that you'd like to experience in your life. So let me just take an example of one that is typical. And know that these commitments come out of a New Year's resolutions. But, and I talked about this last year too, you know, most New Year's resolutions don't hold. This guy named Richard Wiseman from the University of Bristol in England in 2007 interviewed 3,000 people who set New Year's resolutions. And at the end of the year, 88% of them had failed to keep. So when we look at that, and say, why is that? You know, some people want to, you know, you want to be able to keep the commitments, but why can't you? What makes it hard? And so this is my belief. My belief is that we forget that just like Pinocchio becoming a real boy, you got to go through a process to keep a commitment, which means that you're going to break it. And you're going to probably break it over and over again until you're finally able to choose not to break it. So you have to first fail in order to succeed. But here's what happens with most of us. We make this commitment, say it's around weight, you know, because that's a typical one. You know, I want to lose 50 pounds by June so I can fit into a bathing suit, whatever. So to do that, you got to be on a diet, and you're going to have to discipline yourself because there are things that you're used to eating that now you no longer will be able to eat. But what's going to happen is, you will, after maybe 3 weeks of being really good and sticking to your diet, are going to eat something that is not on your list. And so instead of judging yourself and telling yourself, oh, forget it, it's not going to work, no, just tell yourself, wow, okay, I went for 3 weeks before I broke, okay, but let me get back on to my commitment, and let me remember why I'm doing this in the first place, and let me, again, just keep learning. Can I do it for 4 weeks? I did it for 3 weeks before I broke it. Can I do it for 4 weeks? And you do that. You know, we expect perfection instead of mastery. Perfection doesn't allow for learning and growth, but mastery, especially self-mastery, requires practicing over and over and over and over again until you're at ease and satisfied with your result. You know, people forget that Olympic gold medalists weren't born star athletes. They go through, you know, they set all their goals and stuff, but they're going to experience setbacks and injuries, falling down, missing the mark countless times, you know. But all of that is what enables them to eventually win the gold. So when I'm talking about annual commitments in a generative way, I'm talking about how do we describe what it is that we want in a way that's going to really help us get it, that we have to be in a process. Other important thing about this is that we never want to set a commitment out of fear. It's always got to be made only from our love center, never out of fear. And so if I were to just say, you know, I want to lose these 50 pounds, right? This was my mistake. I commit to losing 50 pounds by the end of the year. You know, this statement is really shallow because losing weight isn't just about what you put in your mouth, you know. And there's so many examples of people who, you know, have starved themselves almost to death and only lost 10 pounds. Not 1 pound more, you know. And yeah, you want to do some exercise along with it, but even with that, if you're not emotionally set for what it is that has to happen, you know, it's not going to happen. And so these generative statements are designed to get at the emotional block that is keeping you from your goal. And so the way that I do this is through a couple of steps that I'm going to share with you now. So the first thing is you just want to ask yourself, okay, what am I want to commit to? And again, let's keep using this example of I want to lose 50 pounds, okay? So my first question is going to be to you, to ask you, why do you want to lose those 50 pounds? What is that really about? Why do you want to do that? And to really contemplate this, don't just give a quick answer of, oh, I want to look good in the bathing suit. No, what's really going on? Like, what is the fear and the ego stuff that's really going on around losing these 50 pounds? And what you could evidence and reveal, if you really do contemplate it, would be, for example, I don't like how I look. It could be, if I don't lose weight, I'll get a chronic disease like diabetes. It could be, I'll never attract the right partner if I'm overweight. Okay? Now, the thing is, none of these statements may be true for you, but one or two of them may. But anyway, the thing I want you to focus on here is how using them to support your weight loss will not work, because they're not generative. It's about I don't, I'll never, I won't. And those are very negative goals. It's or negative reasons for why we want to do something. They don't hold space for the huge amounts of love energy that are required for losing 50 pounds, because you got to be really self-disciplined and you got to really master yourself. So you want to shift that negativity into something that is happy, something that really would inspire you. So if I ask the same question, why do I want to lose weight? But now go deep into my heart and soul, and we're going to bypass the ego and the fear. Now, why do I really want to lose this weight? And so instead of, I don't like how I look, I would come up with, I want to feel good about myself and how I look. I want to be healthy and let go of being worried all the time about getting a disease, about getting sick. I want to be in a loving relationship with the right person. And I don't want my weight to get in the way. I want to feel good about myself. I want to love myself. So from these deeper desires now, you can make a commitment that have you do, have, and be what will manifest your fundamental desire. And whatever has to shift in your mind and your body and your spirit will be supported through love and not fear. So the following I'm going to share with you are three generative commitment statements based upon the fundamental desires and goals of I want to feel good about myself and how I look, I want to be healthy and let go of being worried all the time about getting a disease, and I want to be in a loving relationship with the right person, okay? So I would say this. I commit to doing, having, and being only that which supports me feeling good about myself. Very nice. I commit to focusing sufficient time and energy on learning and doing the things necessary for me to experience and maintain wellness, mind, body, and spirit. And last but not least, I commit to deepening my compassion and love for myself so I can share it with an intimate partner. So in other words, you were to put those commitment statements up on a mirror in your bathroom and read them every morning. Wow. You know, instead of it being about, I got to lose 50 pounds, it's about, I commit to doing, having, and being only that which supports me feeling good about myself. Because eating things that you know are going to contribute to your weight is not going to make you feel good about yourself. And so what's so great about these statements, too, is that it encompasses more than just it being about your weight, because, of course, there can be some other things that you're doing. Like, for example, a lot of times we do emotional eating and become overweight. So this statement also helps us get at, you know, what's going on for us emotionally. Am I in the wrong job? Am I in the wrong relationship? You know, like, because all of these things could be connected to overeating and overweight. So the generative statement, the generative commitment really helps us get to a level of what is going on for when we want to make these commitments. And then the magic that can happen out of this is because instead of us staying in fear and so focused on what we don't want, we focus on what we do want. And it seems to magically show up in ways that we can't even imagine. And it's be like, but I really wasn't focusing on my weight. I was just focusing on making sure that I was treating myself well and I was doing good stuff. And I looked up one day and it's like, I've lost 50 pounds. Oh, my goodness. You know, becomes that kind of thing. So hopefully this information is helpful to you. You know, when you write out these statements, you want to read them and you want them to make you feel good. And you know you're feeling good because you have a smile on your face. You can also spiritualize it by placing the statements on an altar overnight, then getting up in the morning and reading them and making any necessary edits so that they will be generative and supportive for the journey ahead of you. So blessings on that journey. And again, if you only can muster one annual commitment, that's fine. If you can do three, that's better. But do something that's going to help you really make the most of this year of radical endings, beginnings, and magical change. Come down to the end of my time, and so I want to do a shout out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, Vice President of Black Hole Radio, and to the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know I couldn't do this by myself. I want to shout out to all my regular listeners, all of those of you of Wisdom Walk with me, and you know who you are. To my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters like Asu and Ina, all around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Now, next week, I'm going to introduce my January theme of reverence, which is about deep respect, and I'm going to focus on reverence for self, others, and life. Again, check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. You can also check out the Black Hole Radio Facebook, but on my page, you will have under events, you'll see the links for the shows that I have done previously. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous Earth Week, receiving the support you need. And remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.